Thank you, Derek, for kind words. As he said, my name's Fritz. I think just before I start, just a bit of background on myself. I want to be obedient to God, and I don't normally go over my notes, but just a short testimony. I've been following Jesus for about 22 years now. That, you know, I've radically changed my life and followed Jesus. And I think the difference is when we speak this morning, and you might be sitting here and saying, I don't hear the Lord like that. I don't hear His voice like that. I want to encourage you. I don't hear the Lord audible. I've never heard Him audible. It's almost like a download into my soul when I know it's Him speaking. But I've experienced His presence here this morning, and I just want to encourage those guys who don't hear Him and who don't have a relationship with Him. It's possible. But a lot of things are not going to make sense. But for me, it changed about 22 years ago. I just decided, I realized that there's no way I could stand with my life in front of God. Because I wasn't a good, like Derek was saved when I was 16. I was never a good guy like that. I was a naughty oak. And I just realized, it just makes it easier. But whether you're a good guy like Derek or whether you're a naughty guy like me, none of us have anything to boast for before the Lord. If you can be like Derek standing here with a squeaky clean life. If you come before the Lord one day, it's going to be like filthy rags. But I think it's sometimes just easier for the guys who've struggled. But the difficulty is that you might start thinking it's impossible. It's not impossible. Jesus has made the impossible possible. So for me, that changed when I realized that. And when I started following, I thought, I'm just going to go full out for it. I'm going to follow Him. If He says something in His Word, I'm going to do it. And we've got four kids, and we love our kids. So we try and look after them. We try and make sure they eat right, because if they get up in the morning, we make sure they sleep right. Because if they sleep at lunchtime, they don't want to sleep at night. They go to bed too late. Next morning, they can't get up. If they don't eat, they start eating junk, and it's this downward spiral. So we try and look after them. And I just want to encourage the guys who are part of this church, the family, and the guys who are here. God gave us things to keep us spiritually right. And the one thing is time in His Word. When I started reading His Word, I started following it, and that started growing me. Next thing is prayer. Pray. Pray to God. Speak to Him. Even if you feel like He's not hearing you, speak, speak, speak. And another thing is fellowship. I promise you, I knew this scripture, and I'm going to spoil it for you. If you didn't know it and you thought you didn't have to come to a gathering of believers, Hebrews 10:25 says, "Do not forsake the gathering of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, especially as you see the day approaching," the day of, you know, we're all passing away, the day of where we're going to stand before the Lord. So there's an instruction in the Bible that we need to get together. And I knew that thing. If I didn't know that scripture, I probably would not have been here today. Because so many times I thought, no, I don't want to, like Sunday I can go mountain biking, I can do this, I can go to the beach in the summer. But that word, how can you ignore it? If you do ignore it, you're disobedient. And I thought, yeah, but look, I don't like this church where we were previously. But I thought, okay, but you need to find some church that you do like. And if you can't find one, maybe the problem is with you. You need to change and find a church that you can. So for me, when I started doing those things, and it's now 22 years ago that these things happened, and I look back at my life, and I can see the changes that God has effected in my life because I've yielded to Him. So I want to also encourage you, don't just think you're ticking boxes. These things are important. God does something. He plants seeds in us. And when we look back at the end, you're going to look back and you're going to see the harvest of what's been sown in your life. But let's follow the Lord. Amen? Okay, so we're part of an eldership team. And just to... I'm speaking this morning, I'm speaking on the gift of leadership. So it's for me, it's an exciting topic, but a lot of you might think it's a bit of a boring topic. It's not like, it's so beautiful. God's got all these different people in the church. And like Brent last week with his little goose step he did and all his jokes. And the kids, my kids love him. He was part of my son Emil's, we played rugby, and he was their chaplain last year. And they love him, and he's an entertaining speaker, and it's so great to have him here last night. And but today I'm speaking on leadership, and I'm hoping I can get you excited about leadership. So maybe just some context on this congregation, how we see leadership. is we actually look at the Bible and see what God says about leadership, and we try and follow that. So in our structure, you won't see we don't have a dominee. We've got an eldership team, and as elders, we lead the church, and we're in a team with six elders, eldership couples, and we believe that's how God set leadership in place in the church. And it, how it works is, I would be what you call an amateur, so. We call it double timer, so this is not the only thing I do. But we believe that if we read the Bible, we see God using ordinary people. We see him using fishermen. We see him using professionals like a Paul. And they all work together, and God advances his kingdom through the activation of the saints. So the way we see leadership is maybe in a traditional model, like the Pope would be the person ministering, and the rest of the people would get ministered to, and they in the church. So what we see leadership is God gives gifts and leaders, and the leaders activate the saints, and the saints do the ministry. So there's much more, and that we see in the New Testament. So this morning, my main aim is not to give you a message that makes you feel good. I'm hoping that I can activate you into leadership. So that's my aim. So I think how I want to, we spoke about, just to connect the dots, we have spoken about spiritual gifts and the gifts of God, but I also want to put it into context, and I'm going to try grouping the gifts of God according to the Godhead, to the God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, just to make it easier in categories. So Mike already spoke about the gift of prophecy, and I'm going to start with just grouping the gifts so to make it easier to remember. And then I'll zoom into the gift of leadership, which is the one I want to speak about. But just before we go into the gift again, another bit of background. Remember, when we see gifts, we think gifts are given to us to bless us. So when it's my birthday, I get a nice gift from my wife and a nice new shirt or something, and I'm blessed, I can wear it, and it's lekker. But it's different with God. When God gives us a gift, it's there to bless his body and others. So it's never just for yourself. I think you're blessed as you walk in that gifting, but the aim of it is not to bless yourself. It's to bless others and ultimately bless God. So just bear that in mind. And then another thing that you must also bear in mind is that you can never separate the gift from the person. So if there's if God doesn't give the prophetic gift in the congregation, it's not here without the body. It's people who bring it here. And the people who walk in that prophetic and who exercise it and whom the Spirit come up, they are the gift. So just remember, the people are gifts. So if we can't activate the gifts, we're going to have less gifts and we're going to be less blessed. Okay, so there's a bit of background. So let's start with the first grouping of gifts. So I've got the gifts of the Son. Now remember, the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a triune God. Same value, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but different roles. And we see in the Bible, in Ephesians 4:11, God says, the Son says that he gives gifts to the church. And these are gifts that Jesus gave to equip the church. So when we go to 4:12, let me take a step back. In our congregation, it's very difficult in one congregation to have all these giftings. You've got apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So I've never heard of it being all together in one person. So for starters, that's why you need teams to minister. And it's very seldom that you've got all these gifts to the full extent in one congregation. So again, apostles, they are people who are, I'm not going to go into much detail, but they are the builders, the architects of the church and how it should function. Prophets are people who foretell and bless the church with visions from the Lord. Evangelist would be Jonathan Conrad. So a few weeks ago, we had Jonathan Conrad, who was seen to operate in the office of evangelist, come to South Africa, and we all went to Stellenbosch to go and see them. And a pastor, self-explanatory, and a teacher. So these are gifts that Jesus gives to build up his church. Okay, the gifts of the Son. Next slide. Then we have 1 Corinthians 12:8-12, These are gifts of the Holy Spirit. And there's a list: word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirit, different kind of tongues, interpretations of tongues. These are supernatural abilities that are given on people when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And I think Mike spoke about the gifts of prophecy. So these are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let's take the next slide. And then we've got the gifts of the Father. So if we see that God the Father is the one that gives life, He gave the Savior, He gave us salvation through His Son, Jesus. And these are basic purposes in life and motivation. So these would be characteristics that you're born generally in your makeup as a person. Whether you're saved or unsaved, whether you know the Lord or whether you don't know the Lord, these things are sort of built in your makeup. And we find them in Romans 12, 3-8. So you've got prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, and leadership, the one that we're doing, and the gift of mercy. So you can just take down those verses, Romans 12, 3-8, and then you can go through it in more detail. But I want to focus on leadership. And just before I go on that, you'll see that generally people are not just one of these things. You're generally a mixture of these things. You've got different ones of these gifts in different strengths as given to you by the Father. But all of these giftings you are able to grow in. But some people are stronger and those are grace. Some people are weak in certain areas, but that's just how the Lord has proposed it. And remember, God is not, they say, God is not fair, but He's just. Now, I had a long discussion about it. Fairness, think equality. God doesn't give equally to everyone, but He's just. Okay, so even we had to teach it with our kids, and they say, why can I have two ice creams and the other one can have one? I said, are you twins? No, you're not twins. Even if you're twins, you don't have to get the same thing. And I think the world has been teaching us that if you don't get the same as the next guy next to you, you got shortchanged. God gives to us according to His mercy and His grace. So these things are born into you and they're different, but good news is we can develop it. Okay, so I'm going to read you that portion of Romans just so we can look at the background and just start with that. So if you can just put up the next slide. So just before I read Romans 12, where they speak about the gifts, let's start with Romans 11:33. Now you need to remember the Bible didn't have these chapters when it was written. The chapters were given later. So I just wanted to go a bit backwards just to give us context again. Of what context is God speaking about the gifts, these gifts of the Father? Romans 11, 33-36. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become His counselor? Or who has first given to Him, and it shall be repaid to Him? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Okay, so this is firstly, next slide please. So this is firstly just the writer saying, I'm glorifying God. Everything is for Him. Everything is to Him. Self-explanatory. And then it starts Romans 12 and it says, I beseech you therefore. Therefore why? Because everything goes to the glory. He's the glory of God. He is above all. He's the creator of all. He's worthy. And therefore, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Okay, so God is worthy. Therefore, we need to present ourselves. We as Christians need to present our bodies as living sacrifices, which means we are dead to ourselves. We have already been sacrificed. We are walking dead and doing that which our Father pleases to bring glory to Him. Let's carry on. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, that's just a little heading in my Bible, serve God with spiritual gifts. And here it comes. For I say, through the grace of God given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, But all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Okay, just before I carry on, did you notice there? We are one body. We are members of one another. There's no way that you can be a Christian and say you don't have anything to do with other Christians. We are one body and we are members of one another. And then it says, if prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching and he who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberty, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Okay, so I think the beauty of that, let me just get back to my notes. The beauty of that is these gifts are not for our edification. They are there because we are part of one another and we're part of one body to build up one another. So that follows that if you have received some of these giftings, and I think we all have, and you're not using them to serve the body, I think like Stella said, then there's that person without the raincoat. You are leaving a gap in the church. And in the old days, a nice picture was when they were rebuilding the ruins. Everyone built in front of themselves, and they had swords and spades, and they were building this wall back for Jerusalem. And in the same way, the church works like that. Wherever God has called us, the people, the gifts that you can't separate, He's called us into places. And if we don't walk into what God has called us, we're leaving little holes in the church, and the church can't be what it needs to be. And the beauty of that thing of we are members of one another, and it says serving one another. It's so beautiful. So these gifts are not selfish. They're not for ourselves. They're serving one another. Okay. So I think that's the background, and it's important background. So now if I go into the gift of leadership, let's start with how do I know if I have this gift? I think to some extent, I think if we define leadership, it needs to be defined as influence. Leadership is influence. Just hang on with that slide. Just take the slide off. So leadership is influence. Nothing more, nothing less. So the church would be the greatest environment to test leadership. Because if I'm a leader at my work, I thank God I've got my own business. We've got about 130 staff members, and I lead them. And I'm a leader at church, and we've got a lot of people following in our church, but at work, if someone doesn't do what I ask them, I politely ask them again, and if they keep on doing it, I can withhold their salary from them. I can let them be without a job. So there's a lot of motivation that I can push them. If they don't pitch up for work, they don't get paid. But at church, you don't have that luxury. People follow you because firstly, they follow the Lord. And it's something that the Lord has put. But there's no financial enticement. So you have to motivate people. And I think the biggest thing is if you don't understand that even if in your business, if the only reason why people follow you is because you pay their paycheck, you're not leading them. You're just in a position to manipulate them with their paycheck. You're not their leader. And that's why you can know leadership is not a rank. It's not something you get, okay, Derek, you made an elder, and now people start following him. People would have followed him before he became an elder. We would have recognized that and said, we recognize that you're an elder in the church. And it's the same with any leadership position. So how do you know if you have it? Look at how many people are following you. And like Paul says, be sober. I'm not going to say, you know what, I think I can start leading President Cyril Ramaphosa. I've got a great vision for this country. I wouldn't be sober-minded. I'd really be overestimating my influence on President Cyril Ramaphosa. And that's a silly example, but I think we need to understand it. So be sober about it. You know, and generally people follow other people that are stronger than them, people who've walked the road a bit longer than them, people whose lives show and testify that they have success. And in our environment, people who we aspire to be, to follow people who seem to be, who we think have got something in the Lord that we want. And it's good. We need to follow those people. But we need to be sober-minded in seeing where our influence is, and that's a good indication. So I think every one of us has influence. If you're a mother and you've got young children, you've got influence there. And I believe as you are faithful with the influence that God has given you, the more he'll give to you. So it's something that you can grow in. So you might not become President Cyril Ramaphosa. You might not lead the country, but there's always growth. And Russell, who leads Durbanville, he's always said he believes he wasn't a leader. He says he's just been faithful and faithful and faithful. He actually says he believes God has given some of the gifts that were for other people and given it to him just because how faithful he was. And I want to say to you, be faithful. Whether it's leadership or any other gifts, just be faithful with what God has given you. So what does that mean to be faithful with the gift of leadership? In church context, it means that I use my influence to lead people closer to Jesus. So, for example, in our workplace, I would teach people we respect one another. You don't talk nasty or swear at your colleagues. And then I always say, because what does it say even in the Bible? It says we need to love one another as we love ourselves. And you can use these opportunities to point people to the reason, the real reason why we are nice to one another. Not just because it's a good work ethic and it's prescribed by the laws of South Africa. So you use your influence. If you're a teacher, you lead the people to Christ. You use your influence to lead people to the Savior. Okay. So I've already dealt with just some more on being a rank. If you desire, there's two kind of biblical examples of leaders. Most of them didn't want to lead. In the Bible, you find Moses saying, no, Lord, I can't lead. And then God says to him, No, God, I'm a stutterer. I can't lead. Okay, I'll give you your brother Aaron to speak on your behalf. No. He didn't want to lead. And you get Saul when he was appointed the king of Israel, hiding between the baskets at the back. And I think I can really relate to those people for many selfish reasons. So I can really relate that, it's easy not to lead and it's to hide away. And then you get the leaders that are so willing to go, like Elisha. I will not leave you until I get your mantle. I want a double portion of your spirit. You know, he's the guy that's chasing it. And guess what? Guess which one is more acceptable or better in the Lord's eyes? Well, what does the Bible say? It says he who desires to become an overseer or a leader or a pastor desires a good thing. And I want to say we've got liberty in the Lord to desire these things, to desire to be useful. Obviously not for our own benefit, but we want to desire to walk into everything that he's got for us. So I want to say sometimes I've had to change, you know, when you read the Bible and you think, oh, it's so humble, you know, I didn't want to lead, you know, it's so nice of me. It's not. It's not godly. It's godly to walk into everything that God has given to you. He speaks about that, and I'll touch on that later. Okay, so what are the biblical qualifications for a leader? I'm not going to read that old piece. You can skip those pieces. But basically, all the characteristics for a leader, you can read in Timothy, and I've put up here is 1 Timothy 3:13, and you can read for yourself all of those things. There's one character trait. That's teaching. It says, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. He who rules his own household well. It lists a whole lot of things. The only thing that's closely related to gifting is teaching. Able to teach. The rest are all character traits. So there's no special gifting that you need. It's character traits. So what do I mean by character? A simple example for character is doing the right thing all the time, even when no one's watching it, and even if it costs you, especially when it costs you. So a simple example would be if I drive in the parking lot and I bump someone's car and no one's looking, I'm able to leave and go away, but character would let you leave a little later and say, please call me, I'd like to fix your bumper for you. And why do we as Christians have character? Because firstly, we want to be like the one who saved us. And secondly, I believe God is seeing everything. There's nothing I can hide from God. I mean, no one sees me in the parking lot, but tonight when I'm praying, I'm thinking, oh God, you know, you want me to love my neighbor. I've just bumped his car. I would have really liked if someone bumped my car to leave a little note, and I've not done that. And that's character. And that's the only qualification for leaders in the church. That and the grace that God gives you. And that will be seen by other leaders. It will be evident in your life. So why is it so important? Why is it so important to God to for people of character to be leaders in His church? You should think it could be much more important for if someone is really very well spoken or charismatic or you know someone like that to lead. Why doesn't it say he must have an ability with words, a way with words? The reason is because as a leader, whatever you bring as a leader, people are going to get. If you can preach what you want from the pulpit, if you're a man or a woman of a character with character deficiencies, people are going to start getting that. So a simple example would be if I came here and I had measles and I started preaching you and I say, listen, I'm a bit sick. I've got the flu and I walk here around you amongst you. And some of you get what I've got. What are you going to get? Measles or the flu? You're going to get measles because that's what I've got. I can tell you till I'm blue in the face I've got the flu, but you're going to get measles. So the bottom line is, and you'll see it with your with the people that you lead as well, and I can see it as a father. I can see some of my deficiencies in our children. I can see areas where I'm strong, I can see it in them, and I can see areas where I'm weak, I can see that in them. And by the grace of God, He's going to cover that up and He's going to fix what we've made. Because we're not perfect. And even as an eldership team, I think that you see where other ones are strong, where the other elders are strong. And that's the beauty of God's church. You'll see even that list of seven giftings. They're very different from one another. And different is good in God's eyes. It's not a bad thing to be different. He doesn't want this cookie cut shape for everyone, because He's made us. If you look at the field, if you look at the flowers, He's made so much variation, so many colors, so many sounds. Why did He have to do that? It's just who He is, and He loves all of us in His God-given way. He loves the way that He's created us, and He loves it that we walk into it. And we might think, oh, but that's a much nicer gift that this person has got. That's not how our God is. Let's glorify Him with the gift that He's given us. So bottom line is, the biblical qualifications for leaders is character. So how do we develop our leadership skills? Okay, firstly, in a biblical context, you must love people to be able to lead them. You can love people without leading them, but you can never lead them without loving them. So I can love my kids, but if they do the wrong things, I can just keep quiet. I'll be loving them, but I'm not leading them. But there's no way that people will follow you if they don't know that you love them. Because why would you follow someone that doesn't have your best interest at heart? I mean, he might be luring you into a trap. And people are not silly. They can see that. They can see if you've got a heart for people, if you love them, if you want their best interest, or whether you do it with selfish ambitions. So that's the first thing. So if you want to develop your leadership in a biblical context, start to love people. And if you say to you, yes, but it's so difficult, it's easy. Just start seeing something nice in every person. Any person has got something nice. So yeah, I think that's, I'm not going to tell jokes. I don't have time for that anymore. But yeah, start loving people. The next thing is start leading yourself. I think the way to grow as a person of character is to start leading yourself. And I think it links with what I've said in the beginning of the preach. Spend time with God. In the Bible it says, they saw these people were uneducated men, but they could see that they'd been with Jesus. They radiated something. If you spend time with Jesus and you're following Jesus and you're hearing His voice and you're being obedient, your life will change. And people will see that and they'll start following you. So if you start leading yourself well and start following Jesus well, you'll gain credibility and it'll be clearly visible. It's so attractive to see someone following Jesus with all his heart. We all want that, don't we? And that's another place where we can start our leadership journey. I think I've spoken about thinking soberly of yourself. Look at where you already have influence. And again, think soberly and try and use that influence. Look, if there's people that you aspire to become leaders like, start spending time with them. And don't just say, here's a little tip that I've read in a book that's really quite good. If you want to spend time with someone that you want to gain some insight, if I want to spend time with Henny, he's a principal and I'm a young teacher and I want to become a principal and I want to make an appointment with Henny, he's in our church, I want to spend some time with him, then I must know Henny's a busy man. He's a principal of a school. He's got meetings on. I need to be mindful of that. And then if I say, Henny, can I have some time? Only half an hour and be diligent. I'm only going to have a half an hour of your time. And then work out the questions you want to ask beforehand. Henny, what was your biggest change? Since when did you want to be a headmaster of the school? How did you grow from a regular teacher or a learner teacher to become a headmaster? Have worked out questions. Doesn't help to go and sit with Henny for an half an hour. Henny's going, so Henny, how's the day? Be purposeful. Leadership is one of those gifts where it's not the pastoral gift. You don't have to sit in there and rub Henny's back for 20 minutes. And Henny, I've got a purpose. I want to know how to lead like you. Tell me, how did this and this and this and this? And he'll appreciate it. And you know what? He's going to make time for you again. But if you go and sit you say it's an half an hour, it ends up being 2 hours, and he's going to go, if you call him again, he's going to say, no, I don't have time for you. So please, if you want to grow in leadership, get someone and be purposeful in it. We can be open and upfront with it. Okay, so lastly, I'm also going to say the last few things. It said David led with integrity of heart and skillfulness of hands. There is a skillfulness that comes with leading that you can get from various leadership books. There are some brilliant leadership books that church leaders have written. But there is a skill to it. Now, I want to say when I started leading, the first leadership role I got was I was captain of Western Province rugby side in 1996. And my estimation of leadership was, you know what, people just need someone to follow. You just run as hard as you can. You just set the example and people follow you. And I think I played some of my best rugby in my career, but we did very badly as a team. And those lessons, so I crashed and burned I resigned at the end of the season and I crashed and burned in my first test. But God used that and I used the things that I've learned from that. Now I understand that let's talk about rugby context, a good leader, a good captain, will get 14 men playing around him in one way before he starts playing. And leadership is looking out for other people because 14 men playing at their best is much better than one lunatic running ahead and thinking maybe 3 or 4 people follow him, but the rest of us, you know, where are you going? I didn't buy into that plan. So leadership has got to do with people. Always. You can't lead without loving people and being attentive to their well-being. So I'm going to just end off with the motivation for why we lead. I was a young Christian and I sat with my brother the one day and we've got very robust relationships. We say to one another, we say it like it is. And I was sitting and I was thinking I was a good Christian. I'd sort of stopped smoking, drinking, giving my tithes. I thought I was right. And he said, no, but you know, how many people are you reaching? I was like, man, I'm not pastor. What are you thinking? And he challenged me, and he was right. God has got the rewards that we've got our souls, people that we can lead to the Lord, the people that we can lead from death to life. And I always thought it was reserved for pastors and some of the elect few, the evangelists, but it's not. And I've got a little story you can put up the slide. We were at an outreach in Malawi, and so this is... You get these, I don't know if Stella and the guys, it works the same in Uganda, but in Malawi, you've got they call them TAs, traditional authorities. And these are mighty men. They rule about, let's say, this man's region was about 80,000 people. And we went there, and if you come in to minister into a town, then you've got to go and meet the traditional authority, get his blessing. You'll notice he's sitting, he's in a position of honor. You have to get an audience with him. You get time slots, and he gives you about 10 minutes. And as we were coming in, he was asking us to bring him a word. And generally it is, you bring him gifts, and you bring him some word of, you know, you're great, you know, may God bless you and everything. And I was having quiet time. They asked me to bring the word to him. And the word I got was Daniel 12. And it says, in Daniel 12, it says, and everyone shall rise again, basically, I'm paraphrasing, and some to everlasting life, and some to everlasting death. And those who lead many to repentance, or many to righteousness, it says, shall shine like the stars forever and ever, shine bright. And I just felt God say to him, you've got 80,000 people that God has given you. You're going to give an account. But if you're wise, God's going to make you shine like stars one day, bright. And it was a bit fearful, because I've actually given this person like a warning, and he's a traditional authority. But I prayed, and we sat down, and afterwards the person, you should have seen, it was just God's grace was there. So can you just go to the next slide? So he sat, and he was really convicted. He canceled all his appointments. And he started, there's Nelly handing some gifts over to him. This is the next slide again. And you'll see he's sitting there taking pictures of us, he's taking us through his whole village. But the point is, God, through his grace, changed the whole situation into a situation of a man hearing God's voice, and I believe a man being faithful. And I want to say to you this morning that God is going to give, we're going to give an account to God. So basically, if you know the Lord, I mean, Jesus saves. But one day we are going to give an account of how faithful we were with that which God has given us. And there's an interesting parable in the Bible, the parable of the miners. And I've never read it like that. It starts off by saying, it has this picture of God, and then he's giving out miners to different people. 10, 5, and 2. And he leaves away to a far country, and these people need to trade for him. And one piece that I've always missed is, as he was leaving, the people of that country sent messengers to the master saying to him, we don't accept your rule over us. And the difference that makes is, these guys were not trading in a friendly environment. They were trading in an environment where people did not accept their master's rule. And they were having to make do with and increase these miners that they have. And it says when the master came back, he asked an account of everyone. And right at the end it says, and he put all those people of their country to death. But what he did is, he looked at the person who had 5 miners and produced 5 more. He said, well done, my good and faithful servant. And the person who had 1 miner went and hid it, and said, I've got that one that I was scared, I hid it. So I want to say to you that you are going to give an account one day. And it's not going to be a happy trading environment. People in our midst, or the world, does not accept the master's rule. But nevertheless, you are going to give an account one day. And I want to be one of those people that say, Lord, this is not why I was saved. I was saved by your son, Jesus Christ, paying the full price for me. But Lord, I want to be a living sacrifice. I was faithful. I tried to deal with the hand you'd given me and make the best profit I can. And I want to be faithful. And I believe, and I've seen that in my life. As you are faithful, and as you step into what God has for you, as you are obedient, he will bless and add to it. He will bless and add to it. But we are going to give an account one day. And you just go, don't worry, I'll leave that last scripture. And then lastly, it says in Luke 12, it says that that who's that faithful servant, that when his master comes and find him, that he will he not gird himself and serve his master? I believe there's a reward. It's not just God saying, come on, you know, I'm going to give you a hiding if you don't do it. God wants us to shine like the stars forever. God wants us to be faithful, because in that we're serving something eternal, which is his body. Amen. So guys, I hope I've managed to show you. And just lastly, I've got this board here. I almost forgot. I want to show you a simple picture of what leadership is. Leadership is about people. And this is a group of people. And it's always taking people from somewhere to another place. So if I'm leading these people and I say, listen, you know, God has given you talents and he's given you abilities. What I need to do is I need to show them that there's a better place and why it's totally unacceptable to be here. So God has given you talents and abilities. He's blessed you. He's given his son. He's given everything to you. The word says that you are going to give an account. If you stay here, it will be unacceptable. What you want to be is you want to be here. You want to be at a place where you start recognizing, where you start seeing the gifts that God has given you, when you start operating in these gifts, where you bless God's body with these gifts, where you're going to stand in front of God one day and he's going to say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. And leadership is showing that picture and showing that picture and then showing people how to get from the one to the other. That's leadership. That's all it is. As simple as that. And I pray this morning that if nothing else, that I've been able to show you that this is unacceptable. It's unacceptable to not use our gifts to the glory of the King. And why we want to glorify him with everything we have. Maybe these steps haven't been that clear yet, but I'm sure you can work it out and we can get there. But just start following Jesus and start leading ourselves well. Amen. Amen. Before I close, I just want to say that I think during the worship, I also specifically felt that that there are people here amongst us that might not know the Lord and want to say, listen, I don't know you. I don't even know this King that you want me to give account to one day. I don't even know, I can't hear him like you're saying. And I want to say to you that it's possible for anyone. And none of us were born saved. It took me to realize that the fact that I was born in a garage doesn't make me a car. The fact that I'm born in a Christian house doesn't make me a Christian. Each and every one of us have to decide to follow the Lord for ourselves. So I just want to say this morning afterwards, if you don't know the Lord, if you haven't started this journey of following the Lord Jesus, please come speak to either myself or Sean. We'll be here in front. Just come speak to us and just let's pray with you, man. But just don't leave it like that. I don't want to call people out this morning. I'm not going to call people to come to the front. I'm not going to ask you to put up your hand. But please come speak to us. It's one beggar showing another beggar where to find bread. That's all it is. So we all beggars and we all need bread. One beggar showing another beggar where to find bread. So please don't leave this morning with unfinished business. Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand.